appreciate full house up here. Appreciate all good looking. That include a song leader too, I guess. Exceptions to every rule. I appreciate the organist and pens and the music. It's a blessing. Good music is a blessing to your soul when you lift up Jesus. I like songs that lift up the Lord. Turn your Bible, please, to Luke, the 15th chapter. Luke 15. Glad no goldfish is in that cup of water there. Had some threaten to put a goldfish in there last week. One time I come up there and looked down and somebody put a spider in, one of those rubber spiders in there. That's okay. Luke 15, verse 11, and a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, forgive me the portion. Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. That's sad, isn't it? And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. No more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. Though when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father didn't. He said, Son, just be quiet. And he said, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him. And he's just glad to have his son back. And put a ring on his hand. And shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Isn't that a wonderful? That blesses my soul every time I read that. Just to read it, you don't have to do much talking about that. Just read it. It touches a soul. Let's bow our heads, please, and ask God to bless his word to our hearts this morning. Father, we thank you today for this good day that you've given us. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to your house that's been set aside for the worship and exaltation of thy name and preaching the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, may he be glorified today. Help none of us to want to come in and get into the glory, but may we give all the glory and honor to the blessed Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, today. May we see him. May he be seen today. Lord, if he'll just get the glory and he'll be seen, Lord, I'll be satisfied and your children will be satisfied if we can just get again a new glimpse of the Lord and his wonder and greatness. And he's high and lifted up, and he's worthy. There's a lamb this morning. We give him honor and glory and praise that's due his name. And may we worship him in spirit and in truth this morning. Speak to hearts. May your people be strengthened in their faith. May those that have maybe slipped and wandered and walking afar off, may they come back nigh unto thee. And that one that's lost, may they come to Jesus before this service is over. May there be rejoicing in heaven today over souls walking this aisle for Jesus. And Lord, help me now as I preach. Give me power, anoint me, Help me lift up Jesus, and may the devil be defeated and Christ and His Word honored in this service. And make it easy now for people to come down this aisle to Jesus and to heaven. We'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now in this chapter, as I've pointed out on numerous occasions, and you have seen many times, I'm sure, is there are three lost things in this chapter. There's the lost sheep, parable of the lost sheep in verses 3 through 7. And this sheep was lost just by ignorance. The sheep just wandered away from the flock and wandered away from the shepherd. And then we have in verses 8 through 10 the parable of the lost coin. This coin, the lady just neglected it, and somehow she lost it. And it was lost by neglect. Now in the story of the lost son, the prodigal son, he was not lost by ignorance or neglect. He was lost by choice. He by choice left his father. He had a wonderful life and had plenty, and his father and mother loved him, and he had a good home life. But the lights of the world glittered, and he could not resist the temptation. So he said, "Father, give me my inheritance. I'm tired of this straight-laced living around home, and Father, I'm just want to get out on my own. I want to get to know myself. I want to get some questions answered. I want to know who I am. Find out who I am." Brother, I hate to get around people that say, "I'm trying to find out who I am." I mean, that's a little weird. Everybody going around trying to find out who they are. You can find out if you just stay in the book. You can find out who you are and where you're going. You get in the book. Nowhere else can you come to yourself and find yourself outside of in the Lord. But anyway, he went down into the far country and lost everything. In rags, feeding the hogs, eating hog food. But then he came to himself and went home to the father, and the father received him back with open arms and killed the fatted calf and received him back, and they began to be merry. Now, I used to call this the parable of the prodigal son, and you know I'm a Scofield reference, old Scofield man. And Scofield, now the notes, as we all know, are not inspired. The Word of God's inspired, but their notes are helpful. And he has the parable of the lost son. And I used to call this the three parables until I held a revival one time in Memphis, and I preached on the parable of the prodigal son. And after it was over with, a man came up and said, "Preacher, could I call your attention to something in that?" He said, "You called it a parable." And he said, "Scofield has a parable." But he said, "Look at verse 11. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons." He didn't call this a parable. And then in chapter 16, we talk of the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And again, Jesus in Luke 16, verse 19, says, there was a certain rich man. So I believe we have two parables in these two chapters and two real stories. I believe there's a parable. Now, if you differ, that's okay. In my own mind, I believe there was a parable of the lost sheep, a parable of the lost coin, and then there was a certain man, a father, who had two sons. And Jesus used that story, this as a story to illustrate the truth. But I believe there was a certain man. And then I believe Jesus used chapter 16, verse 19, not as a parable. I believe there is a man in hell today, a certain rich man in hell, for Jesus to show us the awfulness of hell. But whether you believe that the story of the prodigal son is a parable or it's a real story doesn't change the thrust of this wonderful teaching, story. It teaches us that God is a loving and a merciful and a forgiving God. It teaches us that no matter how far we go in sin, that He still loves us. I'm glad that we have a God like that, and we have a Savior like that. Now, we sometimes can't forgive people. I mean, we'll give up on people. We'll say, I'm just writing them off. But I'm glad God doesn't write us off. I'm glad of that, aren't you? And this morning, though, I want us to look at just one aspect of this story of the prodigal son. And I want us just to notice the prodigal and the citizen of that country, as we see in verses 14 and 15. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine. You know that's the way sin will do you? Sin will strip you of everything you got. Sin, many people have become beggars as a result of sin. Lost everything, lost their money, lost their character, lost their health, lost their family. He lost all. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he, the citizen, sent him into his fields to feed swine. I want us to notice a few things this morning about the prodigal and the citizen. First of all, I want you to notice their parallels. Now, the father, as I said, is used to teach us that God is a loving and a forgiving God. But let's notice what parallel truths the prodigal and the citizen teaches. First of all, the prodigal. Many people teach that the prodigal son pictures a lost sinner. This application can certainly be made. It doesn't do violence to this story to let that represent that. Since it's a story to teach a truth, you can draw your own parallels, and certainly does no violence to Scripture to teach that this man, this prodigal, represents a lost man away from all the good things he can find in the Father's house, away from salvation. He comes to his heaven, comes back, and is saved. Now, that's okay. A sinner does need to come out of the far country of sin and come home to the Savior. We know that. But I believe that probably the prodigal best parallels a backslidden Christian. Even though he left home, and even though he was in a hog pen, which a Jewish boy is supposed scripturally have nothing to do with an unclean animal, the hog, even though he was in rags and he had wasted his life and heard his testimony, lived in sin, and stooped so low as to hire out as a keeper of a hog pen, he was still the son of the father back in Canaan. Even though he had blown it, even though he had ruined everything, it seemingly, and disgraced his family, the prodigal was still a son. He was still a son. He still had a father back in the homeland, back in Canaan. There was a dear father back at home there, in a distant land, in his homeland, who still loved him. Now this is how the Lord deals with a sinning saint. When we as God's children sin, he doesn't deal with us as he deals with a lost man. He deals with his children who err as dear children. I'm glad of that this morning. I'm glad of that. We can lose fellowship. We can wander away from the Lord and get out of the will of God and get away from sweet fellowship with the Savior and go into the far country of sin. But one thing about it, if you've been born again, you can never lose your sonship. Fellowship, yes, but sonship, never. I'm glad of that. That's a wonderful. Now, I'm not preaching that you can just live like you want to. I'm not preaching that. Because, and I'll say later on, that if you are saved, God will deal with you if you're saved and with chastisement. But I'm teaching that, brother, when you get born again, you don't get a born again by faith and lose it by works. The Bible doesn't teach that. We're born again by faith. We're kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed in the last day. That's what the Bible teaches. And then Romans 8:38 says, "For I am," the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Rome, said, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Brother Paul couldn't think of anything else. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? When we get saved, we're saved by grace, saved by His mercy, and we're in the hall of His hand, covered by the blood. And somebody said, well, the devil can still get you. Well, I heard a preacher say, yes, and we're in the hall of His hand, the God's hand, covered by the blood. And if the devil gets to us under the blood, he'll be a saved devil. That's right. I mean, we're kept by the power of God. We can lose our fellowship. We can get away from the sweet presence of the Lord in our lives. And we all, at times, will sense that we're the sweetness of the Lord is not there like it used to. We all sense, but we can never lose our sonship. Hallelujah this morning for that. Our names are written, we who are saved, our names are written down in heaven, never to be erased. Thank God. Are you in this morning? I'm glad I'm in, aren't you? But let's notice now the citizen. What parallel truth do we see in the citizen of that far country? This unsaved, unnamed, citizen was not a son. He had never known the Lord. And he pictures for us all mankind in the far country of sin, lost in sin without God. Paul describes in Ephesians 2, turn over with me to Ephesians 2, where Paul describes the citizens of that far country of sin for us. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, said, and you hath he quickened. That's what a person, when a person's saved, they have been quickened. They've been made alive in Christ Jesus. He said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. A person before they're saved are dead spiritually. When they come to Christ, they get life. They're quickened. And then notice, he said in verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked, past tense, before they're saved, ye walked according to the course of this world. So they walked after this world system, is what that means. And then notice, that's not all. You walked according to the prince of the power of the air. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And before we're saved, we are in his dominion, under his control, children of the devil, children of wrath, before we're born again. See, when you get saved, you before you're saved, you're children of wrath. When you get saved, you become a child of God. And he said, you walked according to the prince of the power there, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So before a person's saved, when they're in the far country of sin, they're children of disobedience. Verse 3, I can't spend much time on this now. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh. Notice, before we're saved, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Before a person's saved, they're a fleshly man. They are not spiritual. They're not a spiritual man. And they're totally given over to the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath. Before a person's saved, they're by nature the children of wrath. So that is a picture of this citizen who was in the far country of sin. Never been saved in darkness. An unsaved friend, you need to come out of sin this morning, and Christ will quicken you and give you new life. You'll come out of the far country of sin into the kingdom of God, out of darkness into light. Then, now let's notice another thing about the prodigal and the citizen. Let's notice their position. There was a vast difference in this citizen of that far country who hired this prodigal to work for him in the hog pen. There is a great difference in the legal standing of the prodigal son and this citizen of that far country. First of all, the prodigal was an alien. The prodigal didn't belong down there. He was out of his homeland. He was a fish out of pond. His home country was back in Canaan land. And here he was, probably many think he was down in Egypt or some other country, far country. He was an Israelite, and he was out of place. He was miserable. He had made a mess out of things. If you're saved this morning, I want to let you in on a little secret you probably already know. If you're saved this morning, you're ruined for this world. You're ruined for the world. Now, I'm not saying you can't get out and dilly-dally in the world. But once you get born again, you're ruined for the world. You're ruined. If you're born again. Now, the reason a lot of people can profess to be saved and church members and enjoy the world, they've never been born again. That's the reason. And the new birth, brother, will ruin you for this world. The new birth ruins you for the hog pens of the world. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The most miserable people sitting here in this auditorium this morning. Probably the most miserable people here are not the unsaved people. You know that? The most miserable people at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church this morning are those of you who've been saved and you're trying to hold on to the Lord with one hand and hold on to the world with the other hand. I mean, you're miserable. You can't enjoy the world. You can't enjoy coming to church and living for Jesus Christ. What you need to do, brother, is just break loose from the world and go out and out for Jesus Christ. Now, a professing Christian who can get away from church and get out in the world and get in sin and never be bothered about it has never been born again. You put that in your pipe and you smoke it. They've never been born again. If they can leave church, get mad over the devil gets you mad over every little thing come up you let. I mean, just make your mind up. You bogged into God's house till he calls you home. Don't let a little silly thing bother you. But if a person can come to church and make a big profession and come a while, and then get back out in the world and never darken the door of a church and live in sin, they've never been born again. According to the Word of God, Hebrews 12:8, if ye be without chastisement, I'm not saying a Christian can't mess up. I'm not saying that. But if God's hand of chastisement doesn't fall on a Christian, that's another story. And God's Word said, if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're bastards and not sons. Now, why can't a born-again Christian enjoy the world? Well, we don't belong in the world. We have a new nature. And we're citizens of another country, headed for another country, and whose builder and maker is God. But now, the prodigal was an alien, but the citizen was born there. It was his native land. And this is a true picture, standing or position of a lost sinner who knows not the Lord. We're all, before we're saved, we're all born in sin. Psalm 51:5 says, the psalmist said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. As I read a while ago, Ephesians 2:3, by nature we're children of wrath. We're all born in sin, and we live in spiritual darkness until we get saved and come to Christ, who is the light. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Oh, there's so many applications I can make out of this morning. But let me mention another thing about the prodigal and this citizen. Notice their prospects. First of all, the prodigal. His prospects weren't too good down at that hog pen. He'd about starved to death. and is far away from home, and nobody, I mean nobody, gave unto him. By the way, you can have a lot of friends as long as you're out living out in sin and got money to spend. But boy, when the money runs out, you watch your friends bail out the ship, brother. Like a bunch of pack rats when the money runs out. They lost all. When he lost all, he lost all of his friends, and nobody would help him. Isn't it something? The world runs the church. They have nothing to do with the church but getting a hard place. Then they run the church and won't help. They know where they can get some help. And so he was here feeding the hogs, eating hog food, which was a shame for a Jew. His prospects were trouble and heartache and misery, and he was about to starve to death down in that far country. And his father may have heard about it back in his home country. And if he knew someone was headed that way, I believe the father said, "Would you, if you see my son down there, would you tell him that I still love him and that he can come home anytime he wants to? We still love him back here at the house." And I believe the word may have gotten to the son back there that is down in the far country that is welcome back. But his pride wouldn't let him go back. He's afraid they'd laugh at him. He had two options. He could stay in the far country and in his rags and in the hog pen and about to starve to death and die in that far country, die of hunger, or he could go back to the father's house where there's plenty of bread. He had those two options before. One day the Bible says that he came to himself. I always have liked this verse. The prodigal said he came to himself. In verse 18, he said, "I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me, Father, just one of the hired servants. Lord, Father, I don't want to come back. I'm not worthy to come back and be your son. And Father, let me sleep out with a hired servant. Just make me one of your hired servants." But I'm glad that this teaches the love of God and the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God. Father wouldn't have anything to do with that. He ran and when he saw him and fell upon his and kissed him and hugged his neck and said, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put the ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and kill the fatted calf. Let us be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Now those were his prospects, and I'm glad that he didn't stay in the hope, and I'm glad he came home to the Father. Then notice the prospects for the citizen. They were bleak. They were from bleak to hopeless. Unless somebody would go down into the far country and tell him about the Lord, his prospects were bleak indeed. The prodigal may have been the only person who could have ever told him about the Lord God of Israel. And he was in such a backslidden condition that his lips were closed. You know, when we get away from the Lord, our witness is stifled, isn't it? Our witness for Christ, when we get away from the Lord and away from the presence of God, our witness is silenced. But here this citizen was, born in the far country of sin, away from the household of faith. He lived a whole life in the far country. And this citizen died in that far country. And as far as we know this morning, that citizen has been in hell for almost 2,000 years and will be there for all eternity. And maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart through this passage today. Does that prodigal maybe picture you? You've been saved, but today maybe you're walking far from God. Oh, I'm not saying that you're in wicked sin. You know, we don't have to get in deep sin to get away from the Lord. Well, a preacher can get away from the Lord and stand up and preach Sunday after Sunday. Many times I've found myself just sort of cooling off in my soul from the Lord and even standing before you as your pastor. And I have to get before the Lord and say, Lord, I want your presence more than I want anything else in this world. And I do. I want the presence of God in my life more than anything else. All that I need is Jesus. Life would be worthless without the Lord. Folks, you can be seated in Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and be morally pure and be living in a far country far from God. Don't do that. Don't let yourself sit here Sunday after Sunday away from God, away from the presence of the Father, away from blessed communion with the Father. The most glorious privilege we have as believers is communion with our Heavenly Father. Communion with Jesus. Walking with Jesus. Maybe you are this morning. God's spoken to you about that. Say, preacher, I'm saved, but I'm not having blessed communion with my Savior like I used to. What you ought to do, you ought to just come to this altar this morning and say, Lord, more than anything else in this world, I want your presence in my life. I want your presence. Oh, I've just got to have the Lord. I've just got to have him. I need him. I've got to have him. And you do too. You do too. Maybe you're like the citizen. He was born. He lived. And he died in the far country. And he's in hell this morning. Isn't that a sad thing? Lost. 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 For all eternity. Maybe you're here without Christ today. Like us all, you were born in sin. You've lived in sin thus far in your life, just like everyone before they get saved. But if you go on and reject the Lord and die without Jesus, you'll be lost for all eternity. You need to come out of sin and come to the Savior today. And Jesus promises us, I have good news for you. This Father represents our Lord, who will receive us back with open arms. He'll in no, he said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus said in Mark 8, 36 and 37, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's bow our heads for prayer. What do I want as pastor for the people of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? I want our people saved and then walking with the Lord and enjoying sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's what I want for you. I want it for our elderly people. I want it for our middle-aged people. I want it for our young people. When I was a young boy, I'm thankful that I enjoyed sweet fellowship with the Lord. After I got saved as a teenager, the Lord would move over my soul every now and then, and that's what I want for you today. Don't leave here away from the Lord. I'm not saying you're in wicked sin. Don't leave here and far from God without the presence of the Lord in your life if you've been saved. Come to this altar and say, Lord, I want sweet communion. I want to walk with you. Whatever the price is, Lord, I want to walk with Jesus. Oh, some of you ought to say that. You're missing out on life if you're not walking with Jesus, Christian. You're missing out on the joy of the Lord and the blessing of God. Or maybe you're here without the Lord. You've never been saved. You're going to live and die and be lost for all eternity if you don't come to Jesus and come and get saved. He'll save you. He died to save you. He wants to save you. If you just come to him, he'll save your soul this morning. How many of you say, Brother Lashley, I'm glad I'm saved today. I'm glad I'm saved. Glad I have come to myself and come to Jesus and been saved. Just lift your hand if you can say that. Okay, put your hands back down. How many Christians here this morning say, "Preacher, God's spoken to my heart, and I want that blessed communion with my Savior. I want to walk with God, and I'm not enjoying that like I should. It seems like my soul has grown cold on the Lord, and I'm not having that sweet communion that I desire. My soul thirsteth after thee, O God." That's your desire today. You'd say, "Preacher, God spoke to my heart, and I want a closer walk with the Lord today. I'm tired of living far from God. I want a closer walk with Him." Are there Christians like that? Just lift your hand up. Just lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Just lift your hand. Others, just right quick. "Preacher, I want a closer walk with the Lord." Okay, how many say, "Preacher, I'm not saved this morning. If I would die now, I'd be lost. God's spoken to my heart. He's shown me my standing before Him." If you're here without Christ, you have no hope in this life or the life to come. You ought to come to Christ. You need Jesus more than anything else in this world. You ought to just come to Him today, and He'll save you by His grace. Is there someone, say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me." Is there anyone like that today? Just slip your hand up. Well, let me pray for you in this closing word of prayer. Anyone, "Preacher, pray for me. Not sure I'm saved." Or maybe there's some other decision you need to make today. "Preacher, there's something I need to do. Pray for me." Anyone like that? Anyone like that? Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you today for this privilege of coming back to the house of God. And Lord, I thank you. You're a loving Heavenly Father. Lord, you love us, even though a lot of times we're unlovely. And Father, I want more than anything else in this world as your child and as the preacher of these people to, Lord, just have your presence in my life and walk with thee. And may every born-again believer desire that today, a closer walk with Jesus Christ. Father, help today. Maybe somebody here not saved. I pray they'll come and be saved. Bless these that, Lord, desire that closer walk with Jesus Christ this morning. Lord, speak to their heart. Help us see people coming to this altar, Lord, and desiring a closer walk with Jesus Christ. Let's keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's, Brother Gary, let's just maybe all to Jesus I surrender. Let's just turn to that. Just play it softly. All to Jesus I surrender. Maybe God's spoken to your heart. You say, "Preacher, God wants me to live closer to Him, enjoying sweet communion with Him. That's my desire. I want to live closer to the Lord. God's spoken to me about that." Won't you just slip out, come down, and talk to the Lord about it? Just walk. That's right. Just come right up. Yes. Amen. Amen. Others, come on. "Preacher, my desire, my soul, is a closer walk with the Lord." Come on. Come and talk to me. Listen, God will bless you. When you seek me with your whole heart, you'll find me. I surrender all. Others of you, do you desire that closer walk with Jesus Christ? Oh, folks, let's mean business with God. Let's get in this thing of living for Jesus. Thank God, Brother Dunn saved at home. On his own, called on God, and he got saved on his own. His son saved back in NBT, making it public today. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God. Let's stand and sing 310, All to Jesus I Surrender. The altar's open if you need to come. If you just need to come for prayer, maybe a burden or problem, maybe if you need to join the church, or whatever the need is. Whatever the need is, the answer is in Jesus Christ. The answer is in Christ. Maybe you need to join this church. Some of you may, God's been speaking to you about that. Come on, as we sing, All to Jesus I Surrender.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
I surrender all. Never regret it. Come to Jesus. Never regret it. Never regret it. Come on. One more verse. Or one comes, we'll be through. One more verse.
Come on. To Jesus. I surrender.
Not saying come to our church. I'm saying come to Jesus. Come to Christ.
Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me
We thank the Lord for these who come this morning.